This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. As you can tell from the way my voice sounds, I'm David Nellis. Say hello, Nikki.
Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Nikki. So, you know, we've had a rock and roll summer so far. The kids are at camp, so we actually get to comport ourselves like grown-ups. We've been out a lot. We went to the grand opening of Graffiato.
Which was fabulous. All the top chefs from in and around the D.C. metro area were there.
No, even Mike Isabella had a bunch of these people flying in from L.A. There were people
Yeah, I know. I was there.
Crazy. I know. Was that you?
That was me.
I saw you work in the room.
Yeah, well.
Oh, hello, hello.
Well, I like those people.
And then you were at the Source after Rock of Ages.
I was at the Source before Rock of Ages. I went to the Source. Scott Juneau is doing a new take on his bao bun. He usually stuffs
his
it
what?
With...
Bao bun?
Stop talking. His bao bun is normally stuffed with a delicious shredded pork, but now he's doing it with a lacquer duck. It is just delicious, really yummy.
I only know about two or three of those words.
Okay, and Rock of Ages is so much fun. It did not get the greatest review in the Post, but it was, for those of you who love hair bands from the 80s, Andy, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Oh, I love them.
Well, Andy,
anyway.
You're the only one who was there in the 80s who still has hair. So.
Anyway, it was a ton of fun.
And we also were the co-hosts of the Congressional Cupcake Wars last Thursday on Capitol Hill in the Rayburn Building. It was sponsored by Candace and Charles Nelson of Sprinkles, the founders of Sprinkles Cupcakes.
Who we've had on the air before.
And they raised, what, $10,000?
No, they did not raise $10,000. They donated $10,000 to the Fisher House,
and
which
Fisher
was
House
really
cares
tremendous.
For our wounded vets, which is great. And then we had dinner afterwards at Proof, which was awesome.
We are on a diet after the show.
That's why I look like such a fat butt because of that. All right, so grab a napkin because this week's show is going to make you drool. I swear it. It's kind of new restaurant week on the show. And then we'll be tying things up nicely with actually news that most of you don't know. DC now has an official drink. So on the show today, we've got...
Not an official drink. Huh? Is it an official drink?
It's an
It's a native drink.
Oh my
God. No, there's
You're
a big.
You're killing me here.
There's a big clarification between
all right,
them.
Well, we'll let
clearly, you did not read any of the information I sent you about it.
This is our first fight, everybody.
Not
so,
this morning. Right,
we'll let Derek Brown, who will be in later, clear that up. Jeff Heineman's in. He's the owner of Grapeseed, chef owner of Grapeseed in Bethesda. But
he is already making treats.
Wait, he's also the owner of the brand new Freddy's Lobster Shack. And he's over there making lobster rolls and stuff. I don't know what's going on.
It smells like butter.
And husband and wife team Lindsay and Nathan Oster of Salt and Pepper on MacArthur Boulevard are going to be in. And sitting next to me is executive chef Stephanie O'Meary and the GM of Fiorella in National Harbor, Pierluigi Capello. They're in to talk about that new restaurant, which is shaking up things at National Harbor. And lastly, but not leastly, we're going to have Derek Brown, who is DC's master mixologist in and who has scored a coup.
Yes, he has.
Booze in DC, and he'll be in shortly. So,
all right.
Let's start off with our friends from Fiorella.
Well, I think first what we have to say is our studio, aside from smelling like butter, is full of food. We have these gorgeous pizzas in front of us. So we want to welcome you both from Fiorella. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. So the basics on Fiorella are that it's the latest concept by Fireman Hospitality Group. And that's the same group that launched Bond 45 out at National Harbor. And, you know, I think it's called Fiorella Pizzeria, but I think there's a whole lot more happening there than pizza. So I don't know who wants to go first, Pierluigi or Stephanie?
Stephanie's the ladies first.
Oh, he's so polite.
Well, we do have the base of our menu is pizza, but it's starting to evolve in a way where we're starting to do a lot of things that showcase our oven even more so. We have a beautiful woodstone oven. We're doing whole baked fish, some baked spaghetti and meatballs, some baked Italian mac and cheese. Mm.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Let's like back up a little bit. Let's talk about the brand Fiorella and what it is from the Fireman Group and how you guys like came into National Harbor and how everything sort of evolved to where you are now.
That would be Mr. Pierre.
Okay.
Well, we evolved into National Harbor from New York. We have a number of restaurants in New York City, one of which is Cafe Fiorello, which is right across from Lincoln Center.
Okay.
And we took some of the recipes from there, and one of their signature items is the pizza. That is typically Roman-style pizza.
Now, what is the difference between, because right now there is a huge Neapolitan, like, craze here in D.C. Most of the pizzerias opening up are in the Neapolitan style. So what's the difference between Roman and Neapolitan?
Jeff?
Well, our pizzas, there's a big craze for the Neapolitan style, but ours are even thinner. I mean,
like
very,
flatbread.
Very, almost like flatbread and paper thin. And ours, I mean, we claim to cook them in 90 seconds and sometimes less. So
I think I'm going to have a piece just to like.
Yes, I should probably.
To really get an idea of what the difference is.
Probably the one with bacon on it, I think, would be the appropriate one.
Pancetta.
Pancetta. It's not bacon.
Si, va bene, pancetta.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, and it's really no holds bar when it comes to what we put on them because it's so thin. We have a variety of toppings that we put on them, so it kind of expands upon that basic pizza. We have your favorites, your pepperoni, your sausage, margarita, but after that, it's kind of
whatever you
anybody's
want.
Guess,
the beauty
yeah.
of this is, I mean, I love all kinds of pizza, but the crust doesn't get in the way of enjoying the flavors on there. That's the
and it's a 12-inch pizza, but you could eat two if you were hungry, just because you don't,
well, I think
you don't
I will.
Fill up on the bread.
Well, what's interesting is that even though the ends are very crackery, you're gonna think that the whole thing is gonna be like that, and then it still has a nice chewy bite in it on the inside.
So you get the best of both worlds.
Well, I have a question for you. That's a site selection question. I mean, the fact that you're at National Harbor is a tribute to what National Harbor has become. Did you think about going downtown first, or was National Harbor the no-brainer right off the bat?
Oh, that's it.
That's a loaded question.
Especially because
National Harbor jumps. I mean, it's great.
It's the perfect blend of demographics and environment and construction, and it's basically tailored for whatever business you
want.
And
the competitive arena out there is different. If you go downtown, you're fighting with lots of new places and a denser competitive arena, and out at I mean, there's nothing quite like Fiorella, I think, out at National Harbor.
No,
I mean,
we're actually the only pizzeria in National Harbor, and we had great success with Bond 45, so we just
there multiple times, and I mean, it's a now did you work at Bond 45?
I did. I opened Bond 45.
Oh, you did? Okay. I mean, we've been there several times. I mean, National Harbor in and of itself is an amazing place. I mean, it's just incredible how all the restaurants there are just thriving. So when you opened up the pizzeria, you took these recipes initially
Cafe Fiorello in New York City. Yep.
And then how did you expand on the menu? And why, since you have Bond right up the street, why did you expand on the menu?
What we thought is that Cafe Fiorello has about like six pizzas on their menu. You know, they're more of a broader menu that they have. But we wanted to bring some things in like Maryland blue crab, soft shell crab, and play with the pizzas a little bit more here, and we opened with 30 pizzas on the menu.
Wow.
So we really got a chance to kind of be creative and see what, you know, as the dough is kind of a canvas for us, we kind of went and just, you know, what people want in Maryland. It's very different out here than it is in New York City, so we've had a chance to
How so? Tell us your thoughts on that. How is it different?
I cooked in New York City, too, so it's, New York, you have millions of people at all times, you know, that are a little bit more adventurous, I would say. And, you know, we're not in downtown D.C., where I think people have that same city adventure. But it's more of a suburban culture, I feel like, in National Harbor.
Right.
So, you know, we've had to...
Nobody would argue that with you.
No.
Right. So you're just playing to those sorts of tastes.
Yeah.
And it's also a lot of tourists.
Absolutely.
Because you've got that convention center there.
And that opens up to basically the whole of the United States, basically.
Yeah, not internationally,
the cross-section of America
right.
comes through National Harbor.
Right.
It's not just the local suburban Maryland, D.C.
Well, wait till Disney opens up there, too.
Yeah, right. Then you got a whole other...
National Harbor is not slowing down. We have an outlet mall that's building that should be open by 2012.
Right, and the Gaylord just did a... They did a thing with DreamWorks. So now there's, like, DreamWorks characters. I mean, it's going to be...
Yeah, insane. We are lucky to be
pretty
there.
Pretty soon, Foodie and the Beast is going to have to broadcast from...
Right.
Yeah. What about the wine program? Because if you're an Italian restaurant...
The wine program, we are fortunate, enormously fortunate, to have a general manager of Bond 45, David, who is an expert in wine. And he was in charge of the wine program with the Palms for a number of years. He knows his wine extremely well. He knows not only where I know Italian wines, he knows a cross-section of wines of the world. And
So is it not purely Italian wines at Fiorello?
No, we have a number of California wines. Mm-hmm. We have a number of South American wines, and mostly, of course, Italian wines.
Gotcha.
And we put it all together, the wines that go with pizza, the wines that go with the starch that is in the pizza and with the chemical reaction that takes place in your mouth when you eat pizza. And so... There is no wine there that will clash with what you're eating.
I just had a major chemical reaction in my mouth. I think I'll have another one now.
Well, so now you guys are known. I mean, the Fireman Group is really known for doing wonderful decor to places.
Oh, yeah.
And, the spaces are really fantastic. Tell us a little bit what went into this one.
Everything and Mama's kitchen sink went into this one. And it all came from Italy. Everything in the place was... brought in, was built in Italy, put together in Italy, tested, disassembled, put it in a container, and shipped over, along with the craftspeople to put it back together.
I'm trying to get the reverse. I would like to be disassembled,
packed and go over
up,
to Italy.
Shipped to Italy, and put back together again, and I can't seem to get that.
Why is that? Why do all of that? I mean, what was the purpose?
I think if you've ever met Shelley Fireman, our owner,
I have.
He is a perfectionist and just amazing what he is capable of doing. And he won't settle for less than exactly his vision, and that was his vision. To have it,
And when did he fall in love with Italy? Because his name, he's not Italian. Ooh. I know that.
No, I mean, I can't say, but I know it's been probably most of his life because he's actually in Italy right now. So he spends a lot of time there.
You think I can buddy up with him?
I think other people have tried.
Yeah, well.
And so now that the restaurant is up and running and open, do you guys do special promotions or things like that? Or is it just so slammed all the time you don't need to worry about it?
Oh, no. We have a number of specials for two reasons. First of all, to work with the... different crowds that we have at the same thing. And at the same time, to present and introduce and test new menu items that eventually will make their way on the real printed menu as it's an ongoing process and as it develops. And so today's special is going to be next week's menu item and so on and so forth. We have a number of lunch specials. We have a number of chalkboard specials that are presented, and they change every day.
Well, Chef, let me ask you quickly, because we do have to take a quick break. How much leeway are you given? Because it is a second restaurant. Are you allowed to spread your wings a little bit and have a lot of fun?
Yeah, I mean, but our company is based in New York City, but they give us a lot of creative leeway just based on the fact that we're the ones that are here. We're the ones that know our customer base. And so in, the next 2-3 weeks, we really will be expanding the menu, and that'll be mostly... myself, Pierre, the other managers working to do so.
Excellent. All right. Well, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are digging into pizza a la Romana. Yes?
See? Pizza a la Romana.
I don't have the accent. And then we're digging into some lobster. We'll be back in just a sec.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language? With no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills. You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612. and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Guys, we have a couple of minutes left. We've got Pierluigi Capello, who's the general manager of Fiorella, and Stephanie O'Mary. Guys, let's make sure everybody knows where the restaurant is. I know it's at National Harbor, but where exactly and where to find you on the web?
Well, if you get to National Harbor, you basically just have to look down the stairs from Rosa Mexicano, which is also there, and you will find us. And our website is
www.fiorellapizzeria.com.
F-I-O-R-E-L-L-A pizzeria. And if you can't spell pizzeria, you don't deserve to eat there. .com. Guys,
thank you so much. Thank you for all this delicious food.
And if you think you're getting out of here alive with this pizza, you can forget it. Not going to happen.
All right. And now we have Derek Brown in with us.
Hello.
You made it, Derek.
Derek Brown made it in. All right, so Derek, for those of you who don't know, and I find that hard to believe, he is sort of the bar chef extraordinaire.
No, he's the master mixologist.
Bartender,
well,
master mixologist.
I don't mind the term bartender, truthfully.
Okay. So he's taking bartender.
Hey, beer tender.
Okay.
Beer tender
over
do.
At the Passenger and the Columbia Room, and he consults all around the city. But he was a part of a big deal this week.
That's right. And the thing is, the gin Ricky is such a simple drink. I want to know how
remarkably
it caught your
simple.
Attention and why you took up the cause.
Well, sometimes I tell people that the first time that I drank it, it was actually a horrible drink. And what I mean by that is that I had tried it with a run-of-the-mill gin. I had tried it with just lime juice. And I tried it with soda water from a gun, which you find on the bar. And all of that sort of led me to believe this is a really singular drink. It just tastes like lime, truthfully. It's nothing special. But rather than leave it there, I thought I'd explore it. So I went searching for how to make a Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me through sort of the annals of history, so to say. I mean, I really went back and tried to research all of these articles, old cocktail books, and then I found it was a much more complex drink than I thought. Now, I say complex in flavor because it is simple to make.
Okay.
I realized you take the lime as a whole, you cut it in half, squeeze it into the drink and include the zest in it too. I know that you all know from cooking that the zest is where the flavor comes from,
mm-hmm.
right? So the juice is part of it.
No, he doesn't know, but I know.
My zest comes from Nikki.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
He's just trying to make up for earlier. Go ahead.
And so then to that, I added larger ice cubes and I realized it helps it from getting diluted too quickly. They actually said 2 pieces of a lump ice were used in the original recipe.
Hmm.
Then I used sparkling mineral water instead of the gun soda. And I use a good gin, like Plymouth.
Well, what's the difference between, like, what is it about gun soda that you don't like?
Well, the bubbles generally dissipate pretty quickly.
Okay.
And also, it doesn't have a lot of mineral content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's great for some drinks, but in other drinks, it doesn't really add anything to it. So it sort of adds, like, a nice texture, but no flavor.
This is so scientific.
You know, when
she said, Derek's coming in to talk about the Ricky, the first thing I said was, oh, Lucy, I thought you meant...
That's not even
Ricky.
Funny.
Yes, it
not
is.
Even funny at all.
Oh,
doesn't
well,
even
I'm
deserve
so
a
mean.
Smile. Come on, Andy.
The string of jokes that you can have off of the Ricky are great. You know, the Ricky from Ricardo. You can have the
Ricky,
you're
yeah.
so fine,
right.
And it goes on and on. And believe me, people who have done alternate takes on the Ricky have named it such.
Okay, so now there are two different kinds of Ricky's? I mean, how many kinds of Ricky's are there? The original is the gin.
Right. So the original was actually technically made with bourbon.
Oh, okay.
And then about a decade later, that was in the 1880s, about a decade later in the 1890s, it actually was made with gin. And that became the most popular version of it. And I think you'll see why today. The gin version is kind of like the gin and tonic's livelier American cousin.
Okay.
Right? It doesn't have that bite from the tonic, but it also doesn't have the sweetness that goes along with the tonic. So it's a very tart drink, and which is wonderful for DC's hot summer. As you know, today and many days this summer, it's going to be muggy, hot, humid. And so having...
Except for the one over here who has a cold.
Well, we'll make you a Ricky soon.
So make you a Ricky, I'll feel a thing. Why, but, Stephanie, you're red.
But it became a whole category of drinks. So now, technically, you could have aquavit or bourbon or rye and say, oh, that's a Ricky. As long as you squeeze a lime into it and add sparkling mineral water or soda water, then it's technically a Ricky.
And what makes it indigenous to D.C.?
So it was invented in 1880s at a place called Shoemaker's. Now, this was the most beloved bar in Washington, D.C.
It was more
time.
Like a storeroom than a bar, wasn't it?
Exactly. In fact, it was
a
little
bit of a
dive.
Can you tell David did his reading?
Yeah.
He read what it was
No,
about.
I knew about Shoemaker's. Okay. Yeah. I happen to know a little something.
Okay.
It was there in the 1880s.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Andy, but I'm bummed.
What
okay.
the hell? You haven't spoken in weeks. Shut up. Anyways.
You're completely right. Its nickname was Cobweb Hall. But it was a place where the most powerful people in Washington, D.C. went. In fact, every president from 1858 to 1917, when Prohibition hit D.C., which was earlier than the rest of the country, actually went to Shoemaker's, except for Rutherford B. Hayes. He was a teetotaler. He didn't drink. So,
who liked him anyway?
Imagine Grover Cleveland, Taft and Cleveland, those big fatsos trying to get around all the boxes and everything.
Exactly. In fact, they had an old fat tabby cat named Grover Cleveland.
There you go. See, I do know something. Hardy Harhart.
So this drink was invented there. It has all the hallmarks of a D.C. drink, right?
Right.
It was named after Colonel Joe Rickey, who owned Shoemaker's, who was a Democratic lobbyist. So it has the political component. It is super refreshing during the summer. So it has that indigenous component. And it was created by George Williamson, who was known as one of the top bartenders in Washington, D.C. at the time. In fact, in 1911, the Washington Post called him the king of julep makers because he was also known for his famous mint juleps.
All right. Well, we're going to put you to work making some Rickies. We're going to get Jeff Heineman in here. Jeff, you ready to talk?
Dun, sure.
Da-da. Okay. And... Well, when we get back, we're going to tell you about some stuff that Derek pulled off that is amazing because it's hard to get the city council together.
To do anything.
Not to do anything. That's terrible to say. But to get them to agree on something, and they certainly agreed on the Ricky.
It was unanimous.
All right. We'll tell you about that. We'll tease that. Jeff, come on over to the mic.
You can leave that over there. We'll do that at the second
part. All right.
Part.
So we told you Jeff is the chef owner of Grape Seed. It's been a landmark in Bethesda on Cordell Avenue for 10 years. Great stuff. One of the greatest... I don't even know how to describe the mushroom dish that I love.
Yeah, we love that dish.
Mushroom and polenta was the greatest thing in the world. But he decided to open a lobster shack next door. So why, I guess, is the question.
Kind of just a latent love for the whole New England lobster shack and clam shack and probably a love for fried clams mostly. And then
so it was selfish.
Yeah, sure.
But you're not from the area originally, are you?
No, I'm from upstate New York originally, and then we took some vacations out there. The first one I remember being a real little kid was digging clams with my grandfather, also known as Fred.
Right.
So, therefore, Freddy's.
Ergo Freddy's.
Yeah. And there was just I remember digging the clams and not cooking them and not caring for them at all, but. That's not the important part here.
Do you want to stick on that part of the story? Or you want to move on?
Yeah, let's just move on. They taste right now, so.
But you've been doing sort of this upscale, casual kind of restaurant.
Yes.
For over 10 years, which is a real feat in the restaurant world. So when you decided to come up with this concept, did you see it as a trend that was happening? Was it just something personal you wanted to do?
This was personal. I've been wanting to do this lobster thing for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And I just didn't have the wherewithal to pull it off, and the space came available, most recently, and I finally got to do it. I've been kicking around options for a second thing for a while, and but this lobster thing kept coming back.
Yeah, but lobster's getting, all of a sudden, you got lobster trucks, and
It is a popular trend.
Literally, we were just in Cape Cod.
We were.
Lobster's everywhere. Two questions. is the world going to run out of lobsters, thanks to Red Lobster and places like that? But beyond that, are you opening yourself up to being assailed by purists who say, well, this is not, you know, what we get in Boston and the Cape?
No, we're to the first question, I don't think we're running out of lobsters anytime soon. The United States lobster industry is well regulated. They can't take lobsters under a pound. So all those go back in the water so they can have a chance to breed before they get harvested and stuff. The second thing is we try to do traditional New England things. I'm not doing any twists on anything. The lobster roll is, you know, mayonnaise in big chunks, and the other one is hot and butter, and that's about it.
Yes, I think we should know that for a fact.
Yeah, he's working on
right
it. He's right behind him.
So, and then the chowders are traditional, you know, which I keep it traditional. I'm not putting any twists or spins on it. All these shacks are different, however. So when you drive up and down the coast up there, you'll find different versions. And I just chose versions that I like, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How much R&D did you have to do find what you were looking for?
That was one of the highlights, you know, the occasional drive up and down the main coast and stuff, you know, just to.
Did you stick in Maine, or was it like Maine, Rhode Island, Cape Codish?
I took a couple trips where I started in Connecticut and drove all the way up that coast and then all the way as far as Bar Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those were the trips were twofold, to get knick-knack tchotchkes to decorate the restaurant with and to try different versions of lobster rolls fried.
Well, I did see a quote from you where you said, I wanted everything to be really crappy. And I said, who would want to serve crappy food? But it wasn't the food. It was the knick-knacks.
It helps when you read the whole article.
Yeah. Well,
that was just there's a refreshing aspect to grapeseed is all, you know, we don't want the customers to see things that don't belong and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, so it's clean and there's not signage and stuff like that. Whereas the whole shack thing is complete opposite. You know, signs are a welcome addition to everything. They seem to direct you. You know, there's, you know, do not sit on the picnic table wrong because it'll tip over signs and stuff. I mean, you just and it's refreshing sort of. You can put CRAP on the walls and it's expected and, you know, and fun.
Well, so as you were doing your research, did you taste ones? Like, what were you looking for in your finished product for the lobster roll?
Honestly, what I like, you know, you taste different versions that have different adjuncts added to it, whether they put shallots or onions or celery in it and stuff like that.
Tarragon or something like that.
Yeah, and then I was like, well, I like the plain ones and I like chunks as opposed to shredded. I mean, you just see every different version, you know, and different versions are across the street from each other too.
Also true. You know? Do people come in and they're like telling you what to do and how to do it?
Yeah, we're talking about getting a tote board for every time someone comes up and says they're from New England and we just want to get a number. So like the national debt
thing. That's what we're wondering. Are they coming in telling you your business?
It seems people from New England are happy to tell you what their opinion is.
Right. Well,
you must
I don't
be from New
just...
England. Thank you very much for that.
There we go.
Really appreciate that setup. Right. You better get one over here so I can bite into it, man.
Well, he can't talk and
do
that at the same time. No, he can't.
He can't.
So you're going to have to wait until after our break.
Jeff.
We have 1 minute anyway. Oh,
we
Derek
can start
is going to help. Yay, Derek.
Oh, God
thank
bless
you.
Derek.
Thank you. Thank you. So
special thanks to my lovely server, Derek.
Yes. So now, do you feel that some people, you know, I've never seen it shredded. Like, do they shred it?
There's certain places to do it. I think you get more. Maybe they're buying lesser meat. You know, frozen meat tastes watery, and I think if you shred it,
maybe you can
sort of squeeze it out that way.
Yum!
You know?
And let's just talk. We have like a minute left. What are some of the other things that you can find on the menu at Freddy's? You're getting all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Freddy's, I do two different chowders. Mm-hmm. I'm going to add the third one tomorrow, but the two New England style chowder, which is a creamy one, and then a Rhode Island clear chowder, which doesn't have any cream or milk or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're adding corn chowder tomorrow. And then the fried clam strips. We do the whole belly clams. The ones they do at the shacks that people wait in line for.
I'm going to jump in before we take the break because you don't want Nikki's review on this. You want mine because this is in my world.
Okay. I don't do reviews.
This is great for two reasons. It's fresh as can be. And there's actually a lot of lobster in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a lot of lobster rolls that are more mayo than anything else. This is awesome.
We do 4 ounces per. We weigh each one out. You know, 4 ounces per roll. You know, you got little half rolls.
Well, I hate portion control, but okay.
But it does go really well with my little lime Ricky here.
And since a 1 pound lobster only gives you 3.5 ounces, you know, you're talking. We use 1.25-pound lobsters, so you're talking to almost a whole lobster in every roll.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Smaller ones.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we cut back, we're going to be talking more Rickies. We're going to be eating more lobster. And then we have the crew from Salt and Pepper here, and we're going to talk about what it's like to really open up a restaurant in the D.C. metro area. We'll be back in just a sec.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
In case you didn't know, the Bethesda Central Farm Market is now open, and it's big. With around 40 vendors, folks have a ton to choose from, like local and organic produce, a huge selection of natural meats and poultry, eggs, cheeses, cured meats, take-home foods, and more. Plus, they've got a huge selection of bakery and organic breads, fresh ground coffee, and more, all from top-quality family farmers, orchard growers, and artisan food producers. And since I'm the Beast, you know I'm cheap, and I want to say that aside from the really big draw of great prices and great selection is the fact that there's free parking on Sundays when the farmers market is open, and I love free parking. That's Bethesda Central Farm Market. It's open Sundays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Elm Street in downtown Bethesda. Visit BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com for more info and to sign up for their weekly e-blast with lots of info about special arrivals and more. Bethesda Central Farm Market. If you're not living on the farm, it's the next best thing.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. This week, my special guest is Tom Burdett of the Burdett Smith Group and interviewed by my partner, John Dedon. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Hi, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
Hi. All right. So, Jeff, we are going to bring in our next guest, and then we want to talk with you a little bit about what it's like to open up a restaurant in the D.C. metro area. I mean, you're in Maryland. Our next guests are in D.C., but I think it's really important to sort of talk about. We've had, you know, R.J. Cooper was just in, and so was Mike Isabella of Graffiato. And, you know, it's just like the pitfalls. Everybody thinks they can open up a restaurant. It's
Well, everybody fantasizes about it, and all you see is the, you know, thing walking around.
Fantasize about it, but, you know.
Oh, I do. Okay. Fantasize about it. Working the room in my Speedo.
Okay, good for you.
Okay, I got Nate and Lindsay Ochner next to me, and they just opened Salt and Pepper.
Yes. Salt and Pepper. I want to, like, break in and do a little hip-hop song.
Exactly.
I love it.
And you're in the location where Kemble Park Tavern was, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right, so let's step back a little. Where do you guys come from? What's your deal, and why a restaurant?
We're from Washington. Well, I'm from Washington, D.C.
Oh, you guys must be newly married. You're being so nice to each other.
Lindsay and I actually met in culinary school at CIA. And so
my first day, he was my RA.
Preying on the freshman.
I went after him.
Really?
Yeah.
So I convinced her to move to Washington, D.C. because I love it here. And we've lived in the same neighborhood in the Palisades since we've been here. And, you know, that space across the street just kept, you know, kept calling our names, and eventually when the opportunity came up, we jumped on it.
Mm-hmm. But let's talk about where you both have been cooking prior to here.
So when we moved down here, we both worked at Black Salt with Jeff and Barbara Black, and then Nate went over to Equinox, and I went and opened The Source by Wolfgang Puck, and then Nate had such a great time because Todd's just amazing that I had to jump on over and work at Equinox, and Nate had left and went on to Restaurant Associates. And
do you think Nate's running away from you?
I don't know. I think after a few months at working next to the line next to each other at Jeff Black, he might have.
You're playing. You bet off. Your marriage. And
yeah. And then most recently, Nate was with RA at the corporate executive board, and I was the executive sous at the Canadian Embassy. It's pretty much Ambassador Dewar's personal chef.
But you two, as a couple, decided you really wanted to open up a restaurant.
Sure. Well, it's been the dream since we.
It was independent dreams that kind of like came together. So,
and did you both have a concept in mind, or did the space determine what you went with?
We had a concept in mind, and we had another space originally. We had already started paying rent on another space. But
do we know where?
It was the same neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It just required an entire build out, and that concept was way more casual. And when this space came up, we said, well, the space more fits a little bit more of an upscale vibe, so we went with that. We just altered the concept slightly.
Okay. And so Salt and Pepper, the name, why?
It's the essentials. You can't cook without having salt and pepper. So we like to feel like people can't live without our food, or it's just the necessary kind of like basic type of food. It's the American food that you feel you come in and it brings you back to your childhood, your roots, your essentials.
Well, let me ask
also, what
question.
Kind of things does that mean?
Well, because you guys, you know, you're sort of, your background is cooking, it's finer dining. And here to get a neighborhood place that will really become cherished by the neighborhood mm-hmm. and frequented, mm-hmm. you have to have a different kind of mix. So how does that... How do the two things mesh with your abilities and your artistic, preferences?
We take basic comfort food and we sort of elevate it slightly and put our twists on it. So like today, for example, we brought you a bucket of chicken. So
which looks delicious, I must say.
I think we better try it right now.
Yeah, well, if you're going to have that, you have to have the wine pairing.
Well, hell yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's see.
So is that what you wanted? You wanted to do really accessible food?
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody knows what a meatloaf is, but they haven't tasted it. Everything we do, we want to underpromise and overdeliver.
Okay.
So,
I like that.
Everybody knows what everything is on the menu, but you just...
She doesn't need any help. She runs a restaurant.
What am I eating? Wait, stop, Nate. You got to stop. This is delicious.
Thank you. It's actually Lindsay's recipe.
Chicken skin.
We do a buttermilk brine, and then it's just floured and fried. The fryer was a little hot this morning, but...
Wow.
And nothing goes better with fried chicken than rosé, but I always like to pair a sparkling rosé with fried chicken.
You were totally speaking my language.
Talking Nikki's.
I love rosé.
I'm a bubblehead. So and
oh, I like that. I'm going to go by that term now.
Yes. And
I've been calling you that for years.
But I don't listen to you.
So rosé and this really nice J. Brut rosé sparkling from Sonoma just kind of complements that fried chicken, little bubbles cut through the fat.
Does the neighborhood come in? Do they come in and say, hey, your predecessor was...
Yeah, well, like Jeff was saying, if we had like a tally board for everybody that comes in and says, I live in the neighborhood and we really want you to do well. We're like, yeah, we do too.
Like you to do X.
Yeah. Here's our comments. But, you embrace that. You know, everybody, we want to be the cornerstone. So, we welcome those comments. We welcome the criticisms. We're growing. Mm-hmm. It's a process. We've only been open for a month.
Right. Well, you already had Tom Sietzema was in, and he wrote a really nice first bite.
Yeah, he loves the onion rings.
I know. That's a huge compliment. That's great to hear. But now, did that get you a lot of play?
It has. This weekend, we were very busy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how is your menu changing or expanding? Are you considering yourself seasonal? Are you going with that whole trail?
Oh, of course, yeah. Instead of a strict menu change every 3 months, we're just sort of flowing with the menu. We can print it anytime we want, and you'll see next week that we're dropping some of the items that we feel are going out. For example, the asparagus and frisée salad. That's more
delicious.
Of a springtime item. So you'll see we're partners with a farm called Indian Spring out in Great Falls. And mm-hmm. as soon as the tomatoes start popping up, we're doing tomatoes with fresh ricotta.
Well, let me jump in and take you back to the starting a restaurant.
Sure.
Because you're all restaurant. And Jeff, Crepe Seed was your first at restaurant. All right. So Jeff's just opened his second. You opened your first. There have to be all kinds of unseen, even for you guys, pitfalls and challenges that you encounter in the process. I guess let me start with you guys first. You say, okay, Kemble Park Tavern's open and we're going to go in there and we're going to open a restaurant. What happened? Was it a smooth...
We really pushed hard to change the space over to our concept, and we were able to get it done in about 3 months. But
which I have to say is amazing, because when I saw you guys, when did I see you? I saw you in...
At Taste of the Nation for Share Strength.
So I saw you in April, and you told me that the concept was just like getting underway. But there are people who wait months
and
months.
Let's talk about financing and banking. When you walk in and you say, hey, we're both CIA trained, but we've never run a restaurant before, do they go, oh, that's nice? Or do they go, listen, this is a happening town for restaurants. We're going to help you out.
We're an anomaly because we're really lucky that we've partnered with a restaurant that's already established in the neighborhood, and the owners of which happen to be our neighbors. So we've formed a company called Good Neighbors, and we're together, and they're helping us along every step of the way.
That's great.
That's really great. How hard was it with permitting? I mean, was that an issue?
No. I mean, there was issues with the just getting the liquor license changed over to the new address, but we'd already purchased the liquor license for that space that we were renting.
Oh, for the other space. So you were ahead of the game.
No worries there. I mean, the biggest thing was, you know, just being the jack of all trades and painting the walls.
Yeah, we were very hands-on. So.
That's not the horror story I expected to hear. And Jeff, for you,
yes, sir.
Having done it once before, is the county, et cetera, I mean, are all those permitting entities, are they a lot more likely to just kind of roll with it?
No. There's going to be hurdles no matter what. And mm-hmm. just between the construction company you choose and you can anticipate more of them, things are still going to pop up, but hopefully you've anticipated more of them and you can get a pretty good guess. You know, so...
Did you think the turnaround time of Freddy's Lobster, were you on schedule with
it? I had about... 50% time overrun just based on things that popped up that, you know, sane minds might not have let go through, but the government people don't necessarily be sane.
Right. We're trying to be polite.
Yeah.
Now that you're in there, and again, this goes back to the fantasy that people about, oh, I have a restaurant, mm-hmm. I'm going to work the room, and everybody's going, oh, he's the owner and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Are you encountering things, whether it's personnel issues or the sourcing and supplying side of it or any of it that are... That CIA didn't prepare you for because it's just...
Well, they've also worked in restaurants.
Sure, I'm just wondering.
I mean, I think Lindsay would agree, and I think Jeff would agree that the biggest concern is usually staffing. I mean, you got to have the right people doing the right jobs.
And it's restaurants can be kind of frustrating because the every level of the staffing can affect the overall picture.
You Absolutely. Know,
the lowest dishwasher doesn't show up and the whole thing suffers because of it. So, you know, there's a lot of hurdles there too.
Well, and I mean, you know, what I hear from people I talk with in the industry is that, you know, service is, it's a tough issue in DC. It's sure. just sort of a rampant problem. And do you think that's reflective of poor training or not coming from the top? I mean, why is that?
Possibly a combination of all those things. We were lucky in that we hired... especially Lindsay on the service side, she hired a lot of people with the right attitude and, mm-hmm. and she spent a lot of time training them. And as long as you have the right attitude, you know, you can train people to do their jobs correctly.
Well, Lindsay, let me ask you, I mean, did you have a style in mind that you wanted for the servers at
Absolutely.
The restaurant?
Absolutely.
So what was it that you sort of conveyed to them?
I wanted service that kind of went above and beyond what you would expect in a swanky kind of casual spot, but mm-hmm. I wanted them to be unobtrusive. So I didn't want like this fine dining attitude. I mean, they're rocking jeans and black and white striped aprons, and I wanted them to be friendly and warm without being in your face or snotty or anything that you could get from you know, some higher end sort of establishments, but I wanted them to be real. I could teach them how to wait at a table. I couldn't teach them how to care about the concept mm-hmm. and how to be excited and motivated. And I think that that's kind of the style that we were going for.
Well, is one of the issues that, I mean, wait service, I guess we'd call it, isn't a destination career anymore. I mean, it used to be like guys at the Palm would be there for 30 years. And if they didn't go to jail for income tax evasion, they would. I mean, they'd make $120,000 a year, and things would be great. But it's, you know, you have this constant turnover, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of that being a profession is gone. But what I always find funny is when people come in for an interview and they think like, oh, anybody could just be a server, and then they get out on the floor for their first night.
It's exhausting.
And they're like, oh my god, what did I just right. decide to do with my Friday night? And I think it teaches people a lesson. It's kind of like being a chef. You see somebody with good hands, either you have it or you don't. It's right. the same thing with the service. Either you could be polished and presentable or you're not.
Well, listen, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask you guys a couple of questions because, Lindsay, you're in the front of the house,
yes.
and I want to talk about how that feels for you since you are a chef
yeah.
as well. And we want to talk a little bit more about what you guys brought in. And then we're going to have another Ricky, which I'm excited. This is David and Nikki Nellis from Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language? With no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills. You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612, and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills. And the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
Hi, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We are
eating
everything from lobster rolls to fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And very quickly, before we get back to the show, I just want to give a quick shout-out to the folks that make the show possible, our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, our buddies at the Neighborhood Restaurant Group, particularly at Planet Wine, which is a fabulous little gem of a wine store over in Delray, mm-hmm. in the Old Town area. Folks at Founding Farmers down on Pennsylvania Avenue and Farmers and Fishers in the Georgetown Harbor. Dish, Notte Bianchi and Circle Bistro. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers. We got a jeweler. For responsa. How about that?
Fortunately, it's not a trade. As you can see, I'm not protected and bejeweled.
No. Well, I traded.
Yeah.
And Bethesda Central Farm Market, our folks out there, Mitch Berliner, Ann Brody, thank you all for
great.
Supporting
if you,
the show.
After the show, absolutely head on out there. We saw it earlier this morning, and it was packed. There's so many good and fresh things that they have at that market.
A very cool new vendor out there. They import their chocolate beans or their cocoa beans, and then they process them in a local factory here, and they've got unbelievable chocolates, so you gotta
try
that.
All right, we'll check that out next time. All right, Lindsay and Nate, we want to get back to you guys. So we were talking off air about your wine program. Let's hear a little bit about it. And who put it together? Was it a combo? Lindsay.
I'm definitely taking full credit for that one. So many nights studying for a WSET and Master Psalm program, I'm taking credit for the wine.
As well you should.
Yes.
I accompanied her on trips around the country tasting.
He drank and I drove. So
that's like a fun trip.
Yeah, sounds like our relationship.
All American, nothing, mm-hmm. all the way down to the vermouth. Spirit, vermouth, wine, dessert wine, tonic water, everything, sparkling water, domestic.
Why?
Only because we felt with an American restaurant that people talk about eating local and keeping things together. And when mm-hmm. you go to Burgundy, you don't really find tons of big Bordeaux hanging out. Everybody's kind of drinking Burgundy. So I think America wine and spirits are phenomenal. And we wanted to support them and keep everything
domestic
on the same page.
Nothing. Okay, so let's talk about some of the specifics. You said you have wines on tap?
Yes, we have wines on tap. I think besides the Hotel Palomar, we were the first restaurant to get wine on tap.
And why? Why did you want to go that route?
You know, it was kind of something funky, and at first I was a little hesitant. I was like, what are you doing, bring me wine in a box?
Right.
And then I tasted it, and it was incredible, and the idea of cutting down on the carbon footprint by shipping all those bottles and pallet costs to being able just to get a sixtal of some really beautiful wines. In front of us is a wine from the Finger Lakes region of Riesling, done by Gotham Project. And then we have Charles and Charles Rosé on draft right now, too.
I like that name. That's funny.
Yeah.
Charles in charge. Yeah. Well, and I would assume that that doing it on tap, not only does it cut down on a carbon footprint and the on the glass bottles, but it must stay well. Like, you're not popping bottles and losing
product,
right?
Yep.
Does it stay? How long does it stay for?
As long as probably, I mean, we kick a six-stole every couple nights because it's kind of gotten really popular and people are excited about it. But if you get the right tubing and the right head on the tap, then you could pretty, they told me that it could stay for like months.
So do you think this is the future?
I do. I think, you know, to be able to offer such a superior product at the cost too, because
I mean, you're cutting down on so much.
Exactly. I mean, I sell this for $6 a glass, and it's pretty incredible Riesling that's coming from a vineyard that's producing like 94 point Rieslings up in upstate New York. So
that's very impressive.
It's pretty awesome stuff. And you know, people are a little hesitant, especially
wine snobs.
Yeah, and some of the older generation. And so I'm just like, just try it.
Well, because everybody likes the pomp and circumstance that goes along with opening up a bottle of wine. That's why screw tops have so much problems.
Yes, you know? Which we do have a screw top too.
All right, guys, we're going to get back to Derek here in a second. I want to make sure everybody knows where Salt and Pepper is and how to find you online.
Sure, it's at 5125 MacArthur Boulevard in the Palisades. Mm-hmm. And online, we're www.saltandpepperdc.com.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Derek Brown.
I have a new drink. I like the Ricky. I really like it. It doesn't taste like there's anything in it, though. Is this weak?
It's a pretty light drink overall. I mean, this is like a porch sipper. This is something that you drink during hot weather. It's something that you drink on an afternoon, Sunday afternoon, for instance, today.
Like, or Sunday morning.
And so in that sense, I think, you know, it's a very refreshing drink. Now, December 5th, would you drink this?
No.
So that's the key to the Ricky, that it really is a seasonal drink.
All right, tell us about
the proclamation.
The proclamation and all of that.
Sure. So one, our idea was basically we fell so in love with this drink. It's a great drink. It has a great history. It really sort of illuminates DC's past and its present.
Enough of it, it'll illuminate me.
Exactly. I mean, it really is, you know, it was a great time for drinks before Prohibition, right? I mean, sometimes people refer to that as the golden age of cocktails because that's when the martini, the Manhattan, the Ricky, all these great drinks were invented. But today, one bartender calls it the platinum age of cocktails. The fact is, we're even better because we have the reference to those great cocktail books and the bartender's recipes. And you have a great bartenders today who are making those drinks and improving upon them in some ways.
Well, I also think it's, I really appreciate the research that goes into it. And I think, you know, when people talk bar chef, mixologist, all these titles, it is appropriate because you are doing more than just, you know, combining things just to get people drunk. I mean, there's a real enjoyment and pleasure of the history and the flavors that go together.
Exactly. The sort of art of compounding, but also researching and understanding the history of that drink helps, in my case, especially with the Ricky, to improve the drink. And so I think for all those reasons, it's an amazing drink. But the proclamation is just a way to show pride in our city.
Well, you went to a little two
well, tell
seconds
people
about
how
what
you went about
yeah.
doing it.
So basically, me and there was a number of other people that helped along the way. Angie Salome, who works with me, the Marriott, Jack Evans in his office, Councilmember Jack Evans. We all basically got together and said, this is a great idea. This is going to help people enjoy the city more, you know? And obviously, we have great monuments. We have great museums. We have great restaurants and bars. And we just want to encourage people to understand the local culture. Mm-hmm. And so this is a way to broadcast out there, hey, we have a lot of pride in our city. We have a lot of pride in this drink. The bartender's past and present. And we want to make sure that people get into those bars and restaurants. And
so
and
the city issued a proclamation naming the Ricky as the official or the
native? No, the native.
So it's the native cocktail. There is a list of symbols as well, such as I think the American Beauty Rose is our flower and that sort of thing. That is a longer process, which we intend to undertake.
Okay.
But we, you know, when we went to Jack Evans' office and we said, hey, what can we do? They said, let's do a proclamation.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that was amazing.
It's very cool.
And to see them, you know, this unanimous vote in the council, to see them embrace it. Tonight we're going...
see them agree on any one thing?
Well, tonight we're going to unveil a plaque at the Marriott where the Ricky was invented. That was Shoemaker's at the time, but now it's a J.W. Marriott.
It sits under where the J.W. is, right?
And Congresswoman Holmes Norton is going to unveil the plaque to see the city embrace it, both all of the people who live here and all of the people who run the city. It's really, I love that.
All right,
I think it's
amazing. Thank you. First of all, I want to jump in and say...
I like the bourbon one,
So this is the bourbon version, yeah. Do you like that one as well?
I do.
This is what Colonel Joe Ricky drank, and he called it his morning's morning. He had it every morning at 10 a.m.
And then he slept until 3.
<I know. laughs>
All right. So if you want to know about the Ricky, if you want to know about Freddy's Lobster Shack, if you want to know about Salt and Pepper, if you want to know about everything going on in the food and wine scene around D.C., you go to thelistareyouwantit.com.
That's true.
It's free, my friends, free. You just have to register, and you can find out about hundreds of things happening and all the nitty-gritty on the food and wine scene here. And you can also follow Nikki on Twitter, and you find out what's going on there. And if you listen to WTOP at 10 of 1 today, she'll tell you about some hot stuff happening this week coming up.
Yeah, lots of good deals going.
Oh.
Wait,
and you can watch
interrupt
a show
me. Okay, never mind.
On NBC4's
DC Nonstop.
Washington Nonstop cable channel, because this show airs every Friday night at 8:30 and Saturday at noon.
That's very true. Okay, so we have lots of good things going on this week. I'll be talking about it with the guys at WTOP in just a bit. But as we do on every show, we like to pinpoint a specific charity, and we did some work with one this week that we really think deserves an extra special shout out.
Yeah, Fisher House is the Fisher House Foundation creates comfort homes all around the country. They're built on the grounds of the major military and VA medical hospitals, and they're solely dedicated to the care of wounded veterans. But they enable the family members to be close to the wounded veterans and live there with them while they're getting treatment. There is at least one Fisher House at every major military medical center to assist families. And
Well, we met one of those families this week.
They're unbelievable.
Family. It's a mom and dad and three kids. The father was in Afghanistan. And what the Fisher House is doing for them is just terrific.
Go to fisherhouse.org. They need donations. It's all private funding.
And they need volunteers, too. There's lots you can do to help. So check it out and see what you can do to help out.
Fisherhouse.org.
There you go. Okay, and as we do on every show as well, we give a quote. We don't have a quote.
I'll give you a quote. This was a great show.
Quote.
This is awesome food. Nikki forgot the quote.
No.
All right. Well, let's thank our guests: Derek Brown, Jeff Heineman, Nathan Lindsay Achter, Stephanie O'Meary, and Pierluigi Capello from Fiorella out at National Harbor.
Now we have a great show next week, but we are running out of time. So everybody have a delicious week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTOPFMHD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio.